Rob was a strong kid. He lifted heavy boxes, opened the tightest pickle jars, and always brought the groceries into the house in one trip. In school, he tried sports that tested his strength. He felt mighty like an elephant as he helped pull competitors across the tug-of-war line. He felt sturdy like a boulder when he guarded his team's quarterback. And he felt powerful like a rocket when he launched other cheerleaders high in the air.
You're listening to the Here We Read podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating diverse and inclusive books for kids and adults. I'm your host, Charmaine Gordon, your fellow reader and book lover. Pride Month is coming up in June, and I'm thrilled to share a recent interview I did with Rob Kearney and Eric Rosswood. Rob Kearney is an American professional strongman, as well as the first and only openly gay professional strongman in the world. Along with strongman, Rob and his husband Joey have become advocates for the LGBTQ+ community. Together, they hope to break the stereotype of how the LGBTQ+ community is perceived and show the world that regardless of your sexual orientation or gender identity, you can be strong and follow your passions. Eric Rosswood is an author and commentator on LGBTQ+ issues, including civil rights, parenting, marriage, and politics. He has led panels on LGBTQ+ parenting issues for organizations such as the Family Equality Council and the Modern Family Alliance. After a few bookish headlines, you'll hear from Rob Kearney and Eric Rosswood. Buckle up, it's going to be a fun ride. Headlines. I want to talk about LeVar Burton hosting the Scripps National Spelling Bee this year. Have you heard about this yet? LeVar Burton, of course, is an accomplished actor, director, educator, and lifelong children's literacy advocate. He will host the televised semifinals on June 1st. And the finals on June 2nd from the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center. When I was little, I wanted to compete in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. I still do, but I never did. But I also still love watching the show every year, and I'm always so impressed with the kids. I look forward to seeing LeVar Burton host the show this June. That's it for this week's Bookish Headlines. Welcome back to another episode of the Here We Read podcast. Today, I'm so excited to be joined by Eric Rosswood and Rob Kearney. I will let them go ahead and introduce themselves. And why don't you both go ahead and introduce yourselves for people who may not be familiar with who you are and your work? Who wants to go first?
I'll kick it off. So my name is Rob Kearney. I am the first and only openly gay professional strongman in the world. If you don't know what strongman is, we are the guys that look at trucks and decide it's fun to pull them. So I have competed at the biggest competitions in the world, World's Strongest Man. That's the most notable one that people usually recognize the most. That's usually seen on TV. And I compete all over the world, have won competitions in Australia and all over Europe. And it's really exciting to now add co-author to a children's picture book to my resume.
Yes. All right. How about you, Eric?
My name is Eric Rosswood, and we're very excited to be here. So thank you for having us. I am an author of LGBTQ parenting books. I help parents, same-sex couples start their families and talk about adoption, surrogacy, foster care, assisted reproduction, and all the different things that may come up in the path to parenthood. And started working with Rob on this book a few years ago. I wanted to help bring his story to kids and help show a real life role model that can do something amazing and break stereotypes. And I'm very honored to work with Rob on this project and bring his story out to share it with the world.
Right. This is so exciting. All right. So how did, we got a little bit of background about why you wanted to work with Rob, but how did this book kind of come to fruition? Was it you, Eric? Did you have the idea for it? Rob, was it your idea or did the publisher come to you? How did it all kind of get started?
I'll let you know that, Eric.
Well, I saw an article about Rob breaking an American weightlifting record. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Here's an openly gay person that is pretty much one of the strongest people in the world. And why do people not know about that?
Yeah.
And I was really inspired by his story. And I reached out to him on Twitter and was like, hey, do you want to write a book together? I reached out and told him how inspired I was. And I would love to help bring his story to more people and asked if he'd be open to collaborating and having me help tell his story. And was hoping he wouldn't think I was crazy. And luckily he said, okay.
Yeah. Wow. And then, so you did the manuscript and everything and submitted it. And like, how did that kind of process work?
It was a long process. We, you know, so this story really has been in the works for, gosh, it was 2019 when we first started kind of connecting on it and putting it together. And there was a lot of different directions we wanted the story or the story really went. You know, I guess when we talk about the manuscript, I guess we have to talk about the 30 to 40 there originally were before we landed on the final edit. And it really was just such a fun collaborative effort throughout the entire process of Eric interviewing me, learning about my life, the sport of strongman, how inclusive the sport is. And, you know, I guess the biggest thing is we were trying to figure out what was the final message we were trying to get across, you know, because I think the best part about this story is, you know, even though I'm an openly gay athlete, you know, Eric's intention the entire time was to not make this a coming out story. And, you know, being able to integrate the LGBTQ piece of my life without making that the centerpiece of the story. And it was kind of difficult to navigate with everything that had gone on throughout my strongman career. But I think, you know, what we've landed on is a beautiful, inspirational story.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is, really. One of the questions that I often am asked, or maybe I should say one of the misconceptions I think that people have when it comes to specifically children's books about like the LGBTQ plus community, is the feedback I often hear is, I do not want to read those quote books with my kids, to my kids, to my students. And for fear of, I don't want my kids to be gay, right? This is what people literally kind of say to me. And so, as you may already know, you know, there's a lot of backlash right now going on with all of these books that are being banned. A lot of them are like for the LGBTQ plus community. So what's your answer to this misconception or the question or the thought that if I read books to my children or with my children about the LGBTQ plus community, that my kids are going to be gay?
We can have a whole like weekend conversation about this topic.
Right.
But I think this is a very loaded question, I think, because a lot of people have that perception. But I'm pretty sure Rob and I both watched a ton of movies and read a ton of books where I'll just say like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, where there are straight couples and kissing, and we didn't fall into that messaging. So I don't really think that orientation or identity is something that can be changed. It's just something that you are, no matter what kind of media you are taking in.
I think another thing too is, you know, for some reason, people hypersexualize anybody in the LGBTQ community. They never look at our relationships from a perspective of love. It's always from a perspective of sex. And I think that's also one of the frustrating things too. You know, when, you know, my husband and I, you know, I post pictures of us online, you know, I get comments like, you know, we don't care what happens in your bedroom, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, this post isn't about that. I'm just, you know, I'm kissing my husband on the cheek, just like you are with your wife on your Instagram. You know, so I think for some reason, there's just this automatic hypersexualization of any LGBTQ relationship without just realizing it's just two people in love and nothing more than that.
Yeah. Love is love, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it frustrates me when people say that, you know, either to me or, you know, I hear somebody kind of making comments like that. So thank you for addressing that. All right. So another thing is Pride Month is coming up. And I've also, you know, heard people say Pride Month is now over commercialized and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon who just want to be doing something, you know, for Pride Month, even if they don't really believe in Pride Month. It's really just about making money. What are your thoughts on that as far as like Pride Month and what it's kind of become over the years?
Do you want to go first, Rob? You want me to go?
You can take this one first, yeah.
Okay. So I think I have an interesting perspective because I was actually on the board of San Francisco Pride for a bit. And I do understand both sides of the argument. I do understand that it is over-commercialized, but I do... Sorry, my daughter is crying for a second. So, Rob, okay. Can you take a minute?
Yeah. You know, for me, in terms of Pride, I think it's not, I don't think it's a bandwagon thing. I think what we're seeing is the generational change of acceptance from a younger generation. And that's what's making it more of a thing. And I think that's great. You know, I currently work at a high school and being able to see how unaffected these younger kids are by sexual orientation and gender identity really is one of the coolest things. You know, I work in a decently small town and we have transgendered students. We have openly gay and lesbian students and bisexual students and nobody cares. And I think that's the coolest thing. You know, like we have a transgendered boy and without blinking an eye, all of the students use he, him pronouns and call him by his preferred name. And I think that's just what we're seeing. And that's why Pride is becoming such a bigger movement and it's becoming a bigger idea and a bigger thing is just because what we're seeing now, you know, between the millennial and Gen Z generation, we're just seeing it being accepted on a larger scale.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. My daughter bonked her head on the table when she was bending down to pick something up. So
okay.
I don't remember where I was going with what I was saying, but I will say that I do know a lot of companies and corporations may just put up a logo and say, we're there for you. I think having that visibility is very important for people to see that they are accepted. But I also think that it's more than just changing your logo to a rainbow. I think you have to also show the support and walk the walk, not just talk the talk. So I think there are other things involved in regards to, is your place a safe space for people, for corporations? What are your policies, your hiring practices, your, you know, your internal policies? Are they accepting to everybody? There's a whole long string of things. Like if your company offers insurance, does it also cover everything for same gender couples? Like even things like starting a family or transition medical things as well. So it goes more than, you know, just the logo, if
Perfect.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. All right. Let's talk about the book. Let's get into the book. All right. I want to know first, Rob, so World's Strongest Man, how do they categorize that? Like by the amount of weight that you can lift, or how do you kind of get that title, I guess?
So the competition World's Strongest Man is, it is like considered our Super Bowl of strongman competitions, right? So the top 30 strongest men in the world get invited to compete over the course of 5 to 7 days. We are put through a litany of strength tests, you know, and throughout the course of the weekend, the strongest man wins. So we do everything from picking up cars to pulling trucks to lifting logs over our head to throwing kegs 16 feet in the air, you know, all the most ridiculous stuff you could think of. And like I said, it's over the course of those 5 to 7 days that we determine who the strongest man in the world is.
Wow. That is amazing. I would love to see that competition. Is it videotaped? Like, is it, can you watch it online?
Yeah. So this one is, it will be on CBS and CBS Sports for World's Strongest Man. I just did a competition, the Arnold Strongman Classic, that was back in March. That was live streamed on YouTube by Rogue Fitness and is also airing on CBS and CBS Sports as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Eric, what has been the feedback on the book? Like from, you know, readers who may be reading it, children, you know, parents, what are you kind of hearing from people who have read your book or both of your books?
Well, I'll start with my kids because they're the first ones and I always take their opinions into account when they like things. And yeah. I will let you know that our son has, I read the early drafts to him as well. And when he heard about Rob, you know, one of the first things he wanted to do was lift up our car. Right. So, he was definitely inspired. We're a big superhero family. We have superheroes, art everywhere, books everywhere, action figures, everything. And our son used to talk about what superheroes could do. I wonder if this one can do that, if, you know, Superman can do this. And I noticed the conversation shift to, I wonder if Rob Kearney could lift this, or I bet Rob Kearney could lift that. So that to me was a big indicator that, you know, I think we really have something here, because if kids are identifying parts of the story with themselves and what they can do and what's possible and things that they could strive to do, I think that that's great. The book hasn't been released yet, but we have shared it with a few people and I've heard really great things about the messaging, about internal strength, not just, you know, what you can lift, but, you know, how strong you are inside as well. And what is internal strength and the different ways that you can be strong. And I think that that message is just so relatable, so important right now. I think it's inspiring and I can't wait for it to be out there in the world.
Yay. I know. When is the official, why don't you tell everybody the official release date for the book?
So it comes out on May 10th officially. So at the time of recording, it's only in 2 weeks, but it is available for pre-order now wherever books are sold.
Yeah. Do either of you have a copy of the book close by? No.
Rob.
That you, where you could read a like a...
Yeah, let me grab it real quick.
Okay, great.
So I know Rob just did his unboxing video. I know that's one minute. But it was so cute.
Yeah. Wait, and let's show the illustration, because the illustration on the cover. Yeah, it's just so good. So good.
We were so lucky to have Nidhi Chinnani on this project because she is wonderful. Her art is fantastic. It's so bright and vibrant and pops off the page. And I don't know. I'm just so excited she's there.
Right. Yeah. I know. When I initially saw the cover, I got so excited. I was like, oh, this is epic. It's, you know, just even before, you know, reading it, I was just like, wow, this is so good.
Well, right. the funny thing with Nidhi as well was, you know, Eric and I were sent such a long list of potential illustrators, and going through the artwork, like he had his favorites, I had my favorites, and you know, things, you know, I think Nidhi was the first one where both of us saw her art and like kind of had that aha moment. We're like, oh wait, I think she's the one that needs to do this. You right. know, we're really, really lucky that she jumped at the chance to do it.
Yeah. Oh, that is so good. When you click, like when you just see something, you're like, yep, that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So Rob, you're going to read us maybe just like 2 or 3 pages, whatever you're comfortable with.
All right. I'll read the first couple.
Okay.
Rob was a strong kid. He lifted heavy boxes, opened the tightest pickle jars, and always brought the groceries into the house in one trip. In school, he tried sports that tested his strength. He felt mighty like an elephant as he helped pull competitors across the tug-of-war line. He felt sturdy like a boulder when he guarded his team's quarterback. And he felt powerful like a rocket when he launched other cheerleaders high in the air. That's all I'll give you.
Yeah. And to hear the rest, you got to read the book. You got to go buy it.
And I think that's one of the amazing things about Rob's story. It's something that you just read right there, is he was also a cheerleader. So you have somebody that is a cheerleader in school, and then outside, I mean, they went on to become one of the strongest people in the world. And I think that that is also just smashing a stereotype right there. So yeah. I think the Rob's whole story, I mean, his whole life has been just knocking down these stereotypes. It's amazing.
It really is. Wow. You should be so proud, Rob.
It's cool.
What do your friends say? Like, what are your like friends, family, like, you know, the people that know you?
You know, I think the coolest part about this is, you know, I've done a lot of really cool stuff in my life and traveled the world and met some amazing people and been on some really cool projects. But, you know, to have a children's book, you know, and to be able to hold it and see it and know that it's coming out in just a few weeks, you know, I think it is certainly like one of the highlights of my career. As I tell people, you know, like I have a children's book coming out, you know, everybody's just always so excited. And it's been really amazing to have that support and, you know, just to get that from everybody. It's been surreal. You know, I feel that, you know, especially children's, like, you know, pictures, books and stuff like that, they're timeless. So to be able to have something like this and know it's there forever is really special.
Yeah, it is really special. So what are your plans for like promoting the book? Any school visits? I know school is almost about to be out, but any sort of, are you going to do like a mini tour, whether in person or virtually? What are the plans for the book, like the launch?
So as of right now, we do have an event planned actually at World's Strongest Man, because it is coming up in just a few short weeks. So we'll be out in Sacramento, California, where we have we'll be having a book event out there on Friday the 27th, details TBD. And, you know, other than that, we do have a lot of other things behind the scenes and projects in motion. You know, with the release, we are going to have a big June, you know, Pride Month push. But, you know, the publicist that we've been working with, you know, through Little Brown and Hachette has just been amazing and really been working hard to get this book across all the biggest platforms they possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Eric, he was kind of talking about, I didn't ask him this question directly, but I kind of heard him say what he kind of hopes children or readers kind of get from this book. Rob, what are you kind of hoping, you know, that people who read this book will get from it or take away?
I think the biggest thing is this story really is about, once you accept yourself for who you are, you can achieve absolutely anything. And it's so true in my life. And I think that's the biggest message that I want people to get. And along with that, having somebody that supports you fully, you know, in your journey, whatever that may be, is also one of the most important things you can get as well. So like we said, you know, the story really is, it's not a coming out story, even though my husband is certainly a major part of the story, but the story really is about embracing yourself for who you are, living your life as authentically as possible. And once you break down those barriers, you're able to put your energy into any goal you want to achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, you know, that thought of, you know, this is like every LGBTQ, you know, book doesn't have to be a coming out story. It can just be a book about a guy who's the world's strongest man, right? And that's it. And just see it for that. Or it could just be, you know, kids being everyday kids. Those are the kinds of books that I like to read and read with my children as well. So thank you for writing this. I can't wait. I'm so excited for you both, you know, when the book releases. And anything else that you want to share that maybe we didn't touch on?
I think the biggest thing is, like, again, like just showing our excitement for, you know, that this book is, you know, after 3 years of working together through a pandemic and getting this book onto shelves, it really is such an amazing moment to be only a couple of weeks away from the official launch. So it's absolutely amazing. And we're so excited to be able to share this story with the world.
And I would also like to add that I know Rob is openly gay and his husband is in there as well. There is definitely themes of LGBTQ in there, but I hope people understand that it's not necessarily an LGBTQ book. So I hope that it reaches out to other readers that are not, may not identify as LGBTQ or part of the community. I hope that they can see the other messages that are in there about finding your inner strength, like Rob said, being yourself, just finding out who you are and accepting yourself for who you are, finding your inner strength and be able to go on and achieve your goals and your dreams that you have. That can relate to anybody. So I really hope that that gets out there.
Absolutely.
Very well said. I do have to ask, is there a World's Strongest Woman competition?
Yes, there is.
Oh, there is. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the amazing thing about this sport is, you know, it is so inclusive. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, even when I came out, there was no hostility from any of the competitors. Everybody was so supportive and they love having me and Joey at all the competitions. And there is an extremely competitive women's division as well in this sport. And they are absolutely amazing. There was actually a world record just broken this past weekend where a woman pressed a 185-pound dumbbell over her head with one arm. So it was just absolutely insane how strong these women are. And it is so, so cool to see.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow, I can't even believe that. I mean, 185 with one arm, that's really impressive.
Yeah. She pressed more than her own body weight over her head with one arm.
Wow.
That is me holding my kid.
Exactly. Now, Rob, do you know how many pounds you can lift? Is it?
So my best deadlift ever was 971 pounds. My best squat was 961 pounds. My best overhead press, I was the American log press record holder with a lift of 476 pounds overhead. So I'm kind of strong.
Yeah, just a little bit. Wow, that is amazing. All right, tell everybody where they can find you online, please.
Easiest place to find me is just search World's Strongest Gay. That's where you're going to find me on YouTube, Instagram, and my website.
Okay, Eric?
And for me, you can go to my website, ericrosswood.com. Rosswood is spelled R-O-S-S-W-O-O-D. And I have links to my Twitter, Instagram on there as well.
Okay. And I have to ask before you both leave, any of forthcoming projects that you're working on that you are allowed to share?
This is honestly it. You know, we've put all of our effort and time and love into this project. And now that it's coming out, we're kind of full steam ahead for the launch of this book.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Well, I mean, some people might be asking for a World's Strongest Woman, but, you know, as like a companion kind of book, but.
Rob, if you know anyone that would like to collaborate.
Yeah. Because I think that would be really cool to have, you know, to have both versions. So thank you guys so much for your time. It has been a pleasure chatting with you today and so excited again for the book. And look for it on shelves wherever books are sold May 10th.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Now it's time for your 30-second book review. Are you starting to feel a return, however slow and partial, to normal? Although the past 2 years have been grueling for many of us, the surprise is that many people, myself included, have realized there are some things about quarantine life that are worth preserving. We're questioning the very fundamentals of the quote-unquote normal we've all come to unthinkingly accept. And we're realizing that we don't want to go back. Not to that. The pandemic also made me sit down and take inventory on the things that mattered to me most in life. A lot of the things on my list are priceless, small joys,
that I look forward to each day, like taking a hot shower and hugging my loved ones and friends. Author-illustrator Sophie Blackall began writing and illustrating the book Things to Look Forward to at the height of the pandemic in 2020. In these pages, Sophie has gathered a collection of small joys for all of us. Reminders that every day the sun comes up and new babies are born. She includes suggestions that you bake muffins for a friend or draw a face on an egg and put it in the fridge where it will smile at you each time you open the door. With wisdom, whimsy, and compassion, the 52 illustrated ideas in this book offer moments of uplift and serendipity for yourself and your loved ones. This book serves as a message of hope and solace in hard times and of joyful anticipation at times of new beginnings, whether you're grieving a loss or starting a new chapter, and for all the days in between. Things to Look Forward to is full of gentle reminders of the objects, occasions, gestures, and ideas that warm our hearts. Check out Things to Look Forward to by Sophie Blackall wherever books are sold. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to tune in next time for another great episode. Now I want to hear from you. What books are you reading? What books are you excited about? You can always send me an email at hereweareadpodcast@gmail.com if you care to share. If you enjoyed today's show, and if you feel inclined, please be sure to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. And if you'd like, you can leave me a review. Reminder, leaving a review helps others find out about the show. Until next time, my friends, keep reading.
Thank you for listening to the Here We Read podcast. Music by Emily Arrow and DCQ Beats. Produced by me, Sharnae Gordon, with Switch and Board. Editing by Switch and Board.
Switch and Board.